Hi everyone, Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the CIO First Take podcast series on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. In response to the ongoing market volatility we've been witnessing over the past few sessions, we are joined once again by Head of Asset Allocation for the Americas, Jason Draho, to break down for us what Tuesday's trading session delivered. Jason joining us today here at our podcast studio in New York. So Jason, thank you for dropping by. I see we closed a bit off the highs of the session, but we did see a bit of a rebound in equities today. Of course, yesterday we did see the S&P 500 close off by roughly 4%, so a bit of a turnaround today. I'm curious to hear your take on what today's session delivered, and then, of course, we could spend some time on positioning recommendations as well.
Well, it's certainly a relief today in the markets to see them up and kind of recovering. Overnight, we had an indication, or at least this morning, an indication things would kind of bounce back. You know, good example, Japanese equities were down 12% on Monday, and they bounced back 10% on Tuesday. So this gives you some indication like what kind of swings we're seeing. I'd almost put today's move in context of the dynamics on Monday, because the markets, you know, opened up very low, you know, like futures open up low. As on this podcast yesterday after the close, I commented how after the ISM services data came out, you saw the markets perk up at least a little bit. Mm-hmm. So intraday from the lowest, equity markets rallied. So if we think about where we were at, you know, 8:30 Monday morning, or even 9:30, 10 o'clock, to where we are now, like, you know, things moved kind of higher over that time period. And today was sort of a continuation of that positive news. There wasn't a lot of really any notable economic data one could point to say like this was a catalyst. Same thing on the earnings front. So I think it really more reflects the moves today, a little bit of people sort of taking stock, assessing, but also the markets being whipsawed by the positioning data, which was quite evident. And I go back to the Japan example. That's, you don't get moves like that in 2 days because of fundamentals. You get them because of, you know, trade positions are being unwound. There's lack of liquidity. You get big, really kind of gappy moves in the market. Similar, you know, the VIX index. If you look at just, you know, a chart year to date, it's basically a flat line and then a spike, you know, up to 65 yesterday morning, and now back, it's back down in the low 30s. And so you've seen this kind of action anecdotally, and now some little more data is coming in terms of different types of investors, how they've adjusted. So whether it's systematic strategies, hedge funds, color from trading desks on this carry trade that's getting a lot of talk about, the yen carry trade, how much is sort of done, how much positioning has been unwound, that it would suggest that we are 85%, you know, give or take, you know, kind of the way done in terms of positioning or unwinds that sort of moving the markets. And as that kind of starts to become clear, I think it gives more confidence for investors who perhaps had been sitting on the sidelines, little reluctant to kind of step in as the markets are selling off to buy the dip. Now they feel like, oh, if that positioning downside is largely over, I'm willing to kind of step in and buy. Mm-hmm. And again, data from, you know, different investment banks, kind of prime brokerage dealing with hedge funds, suggest, you know, hedge funds were, you know, buying a little bit yesterday, buying again, you know, maybe more today, a little bit of retail activity. Not yet willing to kind of full throttle go forward, but definitely kind of stepping, you know, kind of a toe in the water, so to speak, of kind of moving back in. Now we need to see, you know, a few more days of this to kind of see like, okay, this is sort of stabilizing, and not any sort of further shocks, I think, before people really feel a little more comfortable, and then start to look for economic data that would give them catalysts. And I think the next, you know, two big kind of data points in the U.S. would be inflation data for July that we get next week. Now, inflation is no longer a concern from an investing perspective, and investors have confidence that inflation will fall. And if you look at break-even inflation expectations, they fell off, you know, literally a cliff last Friday, maybe again overshot, but that's not the concern. The concern is the health of the economy, the growth rate, and the consumer. So we also get retail sales for July. And if that number ends up being, you know, a solid number, like again, showing growth, not a big sort of step down once you kind of strip out some of the seasonal volatility, that'll kind of reaffirm that, you know, the economy is, again, cooling but not falling off a cliff. So those things could help for the time being. And then any other further commentary from guidance in terms of what is the Fed thinking or doing, we may not get enough, you know, over the next week or so to kind of change the narrative. But I think it feels a little bit like, you know, today we sort of had a chance to get a floor. And some, again, some of the extreme moves have been unwound a little bit. The S&P at some point was up over 2% and ended up closing about 1%. So it did kind of give back some of the gains at the end of the day. So again, that, you know, we'll see how this kind of sets up for tomorrow. So, you know, again, it could be very choppy going forward. Another notable thing is what the market was pricing for interest rate cuts. Just relative to yesterday, like, you know, 24 hours ago, what the market was pricing in terms of cuts for September went from like almost a 95% chance of two cuts, like a 50 basis point cut in September, now to about a 70-75%. We are calling for two cuts, but in some way it is data dependent. So, you know, we'd put more than a 50% chance on two, like let's say around 70-75, which is why we went with two, but not guaranteed by any stretch. So I think that market pricing is kind of more consistent with our thinking, as well as, you know, for the full year, it is now just over four cuts or 100 basis points of cuts. Again, that's kind of where we were. It was at some point around 125, 130. So the market's taken out for the full year, just in the course of, you know, 24 hours, almost, you know, almost one full cut priced in. So it's a little bit of, again, you know, maybe dialing back a little bit of the overshooting, kind of assessing, yes, things have shifted, but the fundamental story, you know, hasn't really changed. And that's kind of the takeaway of today's price action. But I think we need a couple more days to see how this kind of all settles out. And whenever there's, you know, think of air pockets or turbulence flying a plane, you can get some, you know, a few bumps, and then sometimes, you know, there's kind of aftershocks. I guess that's more of the earthquake analogy, but right. You know, you kind of get the metaphor that it's probably not just kind of one and done. There's going to be a little bit of more, you know, bumpiness kind of going forward until we get, you know, data that kind of alleviates growth concerns and or the Fed signals we're going to be fairly aggressive to try and nip in the bud any kind of concerns about the, you know, labor market weakening, get any worse.
So with that, Jason, you mentioned a couple of upcoming data points, CPI, Consumer Price Index for July. That's coming up next Wednesday. We have retail sales for July coming up next Thursday. So we have at this point a little over a week until we receive those data points, perhaps some uncertainty in between. How do you recommend that near-term investors navigate these uncertain markets? And what is CIO's current views when it comes to positioning?
Look, day to day, we can be up or down 1 or 2%. And so, you know, trying to time these things, you got to, you know, be too cute, you know, just kind of be careful with that. So that's why we would think big picture or, you know, medium term outlook, next 6, 12 months, why our general outlook has not changed. We still believe, you know, soft landing is kind of a reasonable expectation for the U.S. economy, that the upside for equity still remains, you know, quite attractive, given these kind of lower levels, you know, over that, you know, time horizon. But over the next week, instead of information void, you know, people can kind of, you know, grasp anything and sort of look at any data point or any sort of developments in the markets and get a little bit antsy. So don't, you know, kind of overanalyze that. If you are misallocating your portfolio, if this is a chance to do tax loss harvesting and with, you know, cleaning up, you know, some losers in your portfolio, you know, don't wait until November to do that. You know, be on the fixed income side, we'd be a little bit cautious in making any big adjustments and sort of duration. Mm-hmm. You know, talking with Leslie Falconio, who's our fixed income strategist, you know, she still wants to see how this all settles up, you know, just, you know, in the next couple of days. There'll be a big auction tomorrow in the treasury market. Generally thinks, you know, if the economy is holding up, okay, then rates, the 10-year probably goes a little bit higher from current levels, but it could easily drop, you know, set a kind of a new low in this kind of current environment, you know, because of some other conditions. And still, the overall message is kind of look towards quality assets. We still like technology, and the fundamentals are there, you know, still solid. So the main messages we've had for the past month, that hasn't really changed. And so where you're sort of deviating from that, we think this is an opportunity to kind of move in that general direction. But in terms of thinking, you know, the dip is, or the sell-off is over, and then you want to get fully back in, I'd just be kind of cautious on making sort of, you know, big calls at this point in time, because, you know, all it will take would be a bad retail sales report, and that will amplify those fears, and you could see some further downsides, certainly, before we get some other data kind of to counter that, or Fed's commentary to suggest they will be aggressive in light of the data.
Well, Jason, thank you very much for stopping by the studio to provide some thoughts, reflections on today's session. Again, for reiterating CIO's views on how to navigate these uncertain markets, as well as position portfolios as well. Remain in touch and keep our listeners, our clients informed on these market developments as they continue to evolve. So thank you again, Jason, for joining us on another CIO First Take.
You're welcome, and maybe I'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/working with us. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.